619 for, I live at 619 45th Street, Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Now, Mrs. Bergovitz, do you want to tell us where you were born and how you happened to come to Kenosha?
Well, I was born in a small town in Poland, near Russia.
What was the name of the town?
Lomza. It was near Lomza, but it was like Madison. That was the state of the capital of Poland. And I was born there, and then my father went to this country. He arrived right away in Kenosha, because my uncle and aunt had a farm here, and he came here, and there was only that time only 12 Jewish families. Mm-hmm. And my uncle, he thought that was they are in need of a rabbi. Not exactly a rabbi, a reverend. My father was a sheikh, if you know what it is. And they were in need of it. So he wrote home and he came to Kenosha, right straight to Kenosha. That was in 1904.
Now, Mrs. Berkowitz, could you go back just for a moment and tell us how old you were when your father came to America and what he did when he lived in Poland?
He was a teacher. He used to teach with children. And then he used to go out and shecht, you know, kill the chickens. And not in Europe, there isn't so many chickens as cows. And I was 12 years when I came to this country. We came, my father, my brother was here already, and I, my mother, we came six of us, five children. One is in Kenosha, and two are in Kenosha, two girls, and one is in two sisters are in Kenosha, and one brother is attorney, Charlie Lipp. And one is in Chicago today, and one is in California. He's professor of the University of Wisconsin. He's professor of the University of California.
Does your father teach in Hebrew school or in the village school?
In a Hebrew school. Mm-hmm. And then when my father came, he was rabbi, he was teacher, he was sheikhet, you know. You don't know what it means, he knows. And of course it was hard plugging. It was hard to make a living with only 12 Jewish families. So at that time, my mother started taking in room boarders, you know. Kenosha was a small town, but it was a big manufacturing place. They started coming in Jewish people from, young fellas from New York. And we started keeping taking in boarders because my mother wanted the two youngest ones, the professor and the attorney. He's a big attorney here in Kenosha today. My mother wanted to send him through school. My father didn't care so much, but my mother said she doesn't want no rabbis in her family. She wants professional people. So we put through Miss Wisconsin the two boys. We worked hard keeping boarders. I was the oldest one. And you know, there was no gas and no water in the house, you know, about 49 years ago. And we had to carry in the water and make a fire by coal stove. But we done it. And the boys today, two of my brothers are very successful here in Kenosha, one and one is in California.
Now, Mrs. Berkowitz, you say your father had a brother?
No.
A cousin?
Brother-in-law.
Brother-in-law? Here, yeah. A sister then?
Yes, yeah, sister.
And a sister,
yeah.
And brother-in-law?
Yeah.
Near Kenosha?
Near Kenosha. At that time it was on a farm, but today when they showed me the place, it's in Kenosha, you know.
How early had they come?
They must have come, I remember. My uncle came here when the Spanish War was it here?
1898?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then my aunt must have come here about a couple of years later, about 3 years later.
And they had settled on a farm?
Settled on the farm.
Do you know why they had come to Kenosha, or why they came to Wisconsin?
I really don't know. Often I really don't know, but I know that's why we came here. And as soon as we came here, then we brought in, then my mother wanted to have everybody in Kenosha. So we had we brought in cousins, and today there is, I don't know if you pay, as you saw on the corner of Main Street, there's a lab store, Lapping Company. She brought my cousin from New York, and that was his three sons. He's dead now. And then we brought in everybody to Kenosha. You open up the book, there is, instead of Lepkowski, they cut, the only one didn't cut his, they shorten his name is my brother, the professor. But here, my cousins and my brother, but there is a, in the telephone book, Leps, there's a lot of Leps. That's all we, that my mother brought me here to Kenosha. And that's the way.
Now, Mrs. Berkowitz, when you came here, you say there were about 10 or 12.
12.
12 families in
1906.
There was a congregation here already?
We had started, yes, it started at our house. And then we didn't have no shul or nothing, and then we used to have services at our house.
And your father had been here in
1904.
So that in the 2 years before you came here, there had already been services at his house?
The services had started
in
1906,
at your house,
at our house,
and there was a congregation.
It just started. Maybe, I guess the congregation must have started maybe about 6 months before we came.
Do you know if they had held services informally before? Because
there was a family. They live in Milwaukee today. It is the son Schiffman. Did you ever heard of him? He's in the junk business. That was his father's place. They used to hold services before it then, but as soon as we came, we established our home, so services was at our house. See, and then there was it was one congregation. Today, I suppose, you know, there is a temple and there is a shul, but I still belong to the same shul. I was married in the shul when it was built, the shul, in 1912.
Now, in 1906 then, you knew of services for 12 families in Kenosha.
Yeah.
How long did it take before the group grew and up to 30,
Six
40
years.
Families?
6 years.
30 families by 1912 when they built a synagogue.
Yeah.
What were your father's duties as sheikhet?
As sheikhet, he teached with the children and taking care of services, like a rabbi.
And then when they built the shul?
Then they didn't take no rabbi. I guess about 10 years later, they couldn't afford then, but 12 years
1922,
later.
1922, 23, when Rabbi Cohn came here.
Yeah.
And that was for the other congregation.
There was both. I don't know when did they we separated. I don't know.
About 1922.
22. Yeah.
How would you describe the group that was here up to 1922? An Orthodox group.
Orthodox, strictly Orthodox.
Eastern European background.
That's right.
Poland.
And everybody, whoever today, well, I suppose you know about the dietary law, kashrus. Them days, you know, when they came in, everybody needed a sheikhet. As soon as they came into Kenosha, they needed a sheikhet. Right away, they used to come to our house and see they need a sheikhet. Today, anybody new comes in, they don't need no sheikhet no more. Very little.
Now, you say they were from Poland, Russia, Hungary.
That's right.
Were there any German Jews here?
No. Austria. Russia.
Did you know of any Jews who had lived here very early?
Yes, there is. When I came, Epstein, you know, Bill Kloster, he's there. They were there. They were here, but they're dead. But the only one is left, when I came here, I found him, was Joe Sturr's brother, Jake.
Sure.
Jake. But Joe Stern wasn't here. You know, he came in later. But Jake was here. That's the, practically, that's the only one that I found here.
Could you tell us who the people were who were here when
I came
when
here?
You came?
Well, those that are dead, that's no use telling you.
Well, we might as well have their names if you can remember.
There was Epstein, and those that remained here, a lot of them went back, moved out, but the Epstein and Jake Stern and his father-in-law was here.
Fennick,
that's right, Fennick. And the rest of them, there was only about just in, of course, my uncle, Gratzky. And there is a big family, they were Gratzky's, Gratzky family. One of them is left, Harry Gratzky. His father and his brothers are died. And my uncle is also a Gratzky, but... Now his children are here. And there was, you know, and the rest of them were, you know, I told you there was only 12 Jewish families.
What was the name of your brother, father's brother-in-law?
Gratzky.
Gratzky.
Mike Gratzky.
Now, could you describe for us the general Kenosha community when you came here? How big it was? It a very big community? What did they do here?
Nothing. There was 12 Jewish...
No, I mean the general community, the whole community of Kenosha.
There wasn't very much doing then. There was small. We used to live on 17th Avenue. And today, of course, it's today. But I remember we used to go across the street. There was a farm. We used to drink milk by the farmer. So everything, it seems to me that I grew up with this town. And there wasn't much doings.
They have regular religious services every day, every morning?
No, not every. So once a week, Saturday. Mm-hmm. Saturday, Friday night, and Saturday. Today, when we've got a big community, we can't get any services on a Saturday morning because the old ones died out and the young ones don't care to go for Saturday morning. For Friday night, well, they still go, but Saturday morning, it's hard to get a meeting. You can't start services unless you've got 10 people.
How do you remember the early organizations that they had aside from the shul? Something like the Western Star,
yes.
The Knights of Zion?
The Western Star, that's all that I remember of. And I guess that was in, that must have started before we came because I remember there was a man by the name Bernstein. He moved out of town. He must have been the president because he came, I guess we came Friday and Sunday. I remember like today. He came in and he called my father to a meeting and I didn't know what a meeting is. A meeting, you know, in Europe, you know, means a dinner, a meetup. So I thought, I say, are you going to a meeting? He says, no, it's a meeting. So I remember then the Western Star.
What was the purpose of the Western Star?
They used to pay when anybody died, they paid $500. And then they, get together, but it didn't last too long.
What was the general social life of the Jewish community in those days?
Them days wasn't much. Then later, after we started our shul, then we used to have, it was more social life than today. We used to get together Sunday night and Tuesday night in the club rooms. My kids even remember, I got 5 children, 4 daughters and 1 son. They still remember why we used to go out there Sunday night and play cards and the kids were playing and then we used to sell hot dogs and all kinds of stuff. Today everything is shashtil, not.
That brings us up to to the Federation of Jewish Charities that was formed.
Yeah, that was when
about the First World War.
Then the Federation, then when it started, you know, then it was a big success, you know, very successful at first. But today it's people don't want to give no more money. They say they don't need it, although I know it's needed. Of course, I traveled all through Europe last year in Israel. I was in Israel all my life. I wanted to be in Israel. So I know money is needed, but people don't care to give.
Ms. Berkowitz, what did most of the people do here in the Jewish group? What was their occupation?
They mostly peddlers. Everybody was peddling. There was no, even today there isn't, there hardly, very little. The young fellas were working a few in the factory, but mostly were peddlers. You know, they were peddling dry goods, and everybody was peddling. And that's the way it seems they made a living, by peddling. But my uncle was on the farm, and then he was killing cow. You know, there was no Jewish butcher, and then he used to sell it to the Jewish people, you know, the meat.
Did you know of any farmers, Jewish farmers in the
That's
area?
All. No, that's all my uncle was, that's all. That's all. But then the year, just before we came, I wasn't even on their farm. Just when we came, they moved back in the city. They moved in the city, and he started a grocery store and a butcher shop. And the grocery store is still in existence. That's his son is taking care of the grocery store.
Now how about cultural activities? Were there any Yiddish programs?
Well, then. It started arbitrary, you know. I don't know if you...
Labor union.
And they used to bring in really this Jewish culture, you know, real
was
Jewish.
Was it a Jewish labor union?
Yes.
Here in Kenosha?
Not labor union, it's a...
Working men's service?
That's right, a workman's. So they really used to bring in the Jewish activities.
Was this an organized group?
Yes. Or? But then they start calling him, this is the communist, and then it broke up. It didn't last too long.
When was this?
Oh, that must have been about 1935.
A group of working men?
Yes, got together.
Talked Yiddish?
Yes, and they used to bring in all kinds of actors, you know. It was really nice, but then I think that group in Madison, it used to be very active, but now it's...
Do you know of any difficulties when you first came here with the non-Jewish community? Were there any differences because of language?
No.
Everything was...
No, we... Even today, I live in this neighborhood 34 years. And they're all around here, all Catholics, because that's the biggest Catholic church around in this town. And I am the best of friends. Never had any difficulty with anybody.
When you first came here, was that true also?
Huh?
When you first came here, was that true also?
Well, when I first came, there was this... I remember these young kids. I don't know, you don't hear them today. They used to call, they used to see us up. Maybe we looked a little different. They used to call us Shini. I don't know, you never heard that word today.
Now, is there anything, was there anything in the 1930s during the Hitler regime?
No.
In regard to local conditions?
No. No, not everything. Well, I think around here anyway, those the people, they were against Hitler.
Well, I was going to ask what the general reaction was.
Yeah, it seemed to me they were against Hitler. But
what was the reaction of the Jewish community in Kenosha towards Hitler?
Well, it wasn't good. I remember one day... One day they marched with the swastika, you know. And there was a policeman, you know, he came in to my brother in the store and he says, "Hey, Hitler is on the bridge already." He made fun. But after a while, it didn't last long. Only, I guess, there was twice they marched like that.
In other words, they had a local bund out there.
Yes, but... no, there was... I don't know, it seems to me... That That's why I like an ocean. I traveled a good deal in this country and in Europe. But I think this is the best Annan in America. You know, when I was in Israel, we used to travel, you know, for Israel, in Israel. So when I used to get in a hotel, in the hotels, and then they used to ask me, where are you from? Kenosha. Kenosha, they never heard Kenosha. I said, that's the best town on the map. And it's really a nice town. After all, I live here, I came in 96, that's 49 years. And never had any difficulty with the non-Jewish people there. The best of friends of mine.
Now, certainly the Jewish community had difficulty within itself.
That's
in
right.
In the 1920s. You want to tell us that story? As you know it, first of all, how long was your father in Kenosha?
He was 45 years. 45 years. He was in Kenosha, 45 years.
To 1949. So that he was here in the 1920s when they had the difficulty between the YMHA and the Beth Hillel and the B'nai Tzedek. Do you remember a congregation called B'nai Israel?
Here?
With Benjamin Kolb and Max Simons.
With Benjamin Kolb?
Kolb.
What did
they? They started a congregation in 1908 and they met in his home.
Oh, that just, that didn't mean nothing. That was just maybe Benjamin, he's in Milwaukee today. No, that didn't mean nothing. But as I say, I hope the Jewish people themselves would get along so good as we got along with the.
Was there a group that came in the 1920s that was very much different from the group that was already here? Is that what the trouble stems from?
Well, I'll tell you, there is, do you know, the Jewish people got a group, there is a group, Galiziana, if you know what it is. And they are mostly making the trouble. That was Benjamin.
People from Galicia?
Yeah, that was Benjamin Kalb.
What was the trouble they were creating? I mean, they were more religious or less religious?
Yes, they think they're more religious. And today too, there is a few of them. There is these cousins, there is about two, three. They making more trouble than they are worth.
Mm-hmm. Well, when did these Galicians come? At a much later date?
Huh?
Well, one of the people from Galicia come here at a much later date than the others?
No, they came in 1918.
1918. Well, the community had already been established.
Yes. Then they don't like the way you perform the services, and they don't like this, and there is so many things that they see because they're a little different.
Now, how about the other group that wanted a different type of change?
Well, that's why it started trouble, but that didn't last. Then after a while, Benjamin Kalb was one of the best members.
Now, you had the establishment of a YMHA in the early 1920s, to which everyone belonged, the Young Men's Hebrew Association.
Yeah, well, that was with the temple.
Now, what was the difference, what were the differences between the people who wanted the congregation Beth Hillel and those who stayed with the congregation B'nai Tzedek?
Well, they were more religious. This is more religious. See, we have services. We wear the Orthodox wear skull caps, and they don't. And those that they stayed, and they still stay with the shoe, with the B'nai Tzedek and the others, but it's not so good.
In other words, the new group, and this was a new group in the community, or just a new group?
A new group in the community. Everybody, they always go to the temple, because I don't blame them. In a way, they've got a beautiful temple. And we are struggling. We want to build a new shul, and we haven't got the money yet.
But the difference was between the two groups that one wanted more reform.
That's right.
And they broke up over that. Sorry. What was the reaction of your father to this?
Well, my father didn't like it. Of course, that's why. See,
about the reform.
Yeah. Well, my father's reaction. See, it, of course, he wouldn't think of being a reform. But now we are not even Orthodox in our. We are conservative. See, the men and women are sitting together. When while my father was alive, they wouldn't do it. See, because my father wouldn't allow it. But after my father died, so now it's turning to conservative. You know, semi.
In other words, at that time they wanted different practices.
Yeah.
They wanted to sit together, and they wanted
without. Yeah, yeah.
Did these people come out of a reform background?
No, they didn't. Like Ben Cohn, they never came out of a reform background. Neither one of them. Neither one of them. But all of a sudden, they wanted. They got a little money. You know, they got not a little, a lot of money. And they did. They didn't want to be.
Was there somebody from outside giving them impetus? Somebody from a reform group?
Well, I suppose, sure, because they got right away a reform rabbi.
Do you? Was your father rabbi all of the 45 years, or shepherd all the 45
years? Yes.
He was here by himself.
He was so practically till the end. He was active to the. Till the end of his life.
How would you describe the congregation now, the Kibbutz Tzedek? I mean, in the last 20 years anyway.
It's a big change. It's a change like day and night. It's different. It's, you know, the older ones, as I told you, is dying out, and the young ones. They wanted to be, they wanted to have everything the best, but when it comes to money.
Did your father believe in the YMHA when it was?
Yes, my father was, he believed, although, you know, there was one rabbi, Rappaport, he was a real reform, but my father. My father liked him. He didn't care. My father wasn't. He used to come in contact with the reform, and he was very religious, but he was, you know,
very tolerant of
it. Tolerant.
Now, Ms. Berkowitz, did YMHA make a difference in the community, in social activities and cultural activities? Did you belong to the YMHA?
No.
Only men and women did belong.
No, I think only men. YMHA, only men, no women.
But I mean, the community center was the
yes,
pretty much the center of social activity,
yes,
in the 1920s.
Yes.
What was the line of activities, pretty much?
I don't know. Because I never come in contact with the YMHA.
And the congregation was established along about 1926. 25 and
the
Beth Hillel.
Yes.
And then
yes.
27 and 28, and they moved in.
You know, before it was only one congregation. Then it was all right, you know, but now there is two. And now they're talking very much to merge, but I don't think so. Because this one don't want to give in and they want to. Maybe, you know, the older ones will die out, then maybe the young ones will get together. But otherwise, it's very far from merging.
What do you think are the striking differences between the time when you came here in 1906 and the present day?
It's a different like day and night. Actually, like day and night. My father was very religious, and I was raised, and I gave my children a very Jewish education, but they didn't register much. They're not like I was to my father, you know. They don't observe strictly the dietary law. Even it's my children. I've got to say the truth. And that in them days, 1906, everything was just like a different like day and night. They were not so religious. That's all to me. I don't know. Maybe somebody else could see a different.
How about in economic activities? How about jobs?
Well,
then they were mostly peddlers.
Yes.
And today.
Today there is one peddler.
And in social life, then you had a more or less informal, sort of arrangement. Now, what do you have? You have a community center.
Now there is just, you belong to organizations. There was only that time, besides the B'nai Zedek, there was the only organization. But there was, besides the B'nai Zedek, there was a Jewish Aid Society, you know.
The Federated Jewish Charities?
Jewish Aid that used to take care of trenchants. That was the only women belong.
Who was in charge of that?
At first my father was in charge of it, but my father used to give away the money, so we told him that he can't run it. So the women took it over and they ran it. Till recently, there was everybody belonged to it. And there was trenchants in town, for instance, anybody, you know, there was poor peddlers. Today, they did the thing that nobody needs it. Anybody need a horse, or they were sick, or so the Jewish Aid used to help them out. Then today, the Jewish Aid is not in existence. It's only a short time since it is. But we've got the Beth Hillel Sisterhood, the B'nai Zedek Sisterhood, the Council of Jewish Women, and there is the Hadassah that goes for